This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome back to Casual Conversations. I am your host, Ryan Bean, here with my talented co-host, Elena Sweetser.
I almost forgot my name.
I almost forgot her name. I was going to call her. She was a little feisty before we got on here. So I was going to say my feisty co-host, but okay. I brought it back.
Like, who do I have today?
We don't know. Sometimes we don't know. Here talking everything life, family, business, children, clients, you know, trying to bring make real cool again in a world that's full of fake is really what we're aiming to do. So again, to everyone that's continued to listen and support us, thank you. And
welcome back.
What are we getting into today?
I thought today's episode would be good to talk about how to handle stressful situations, how to stay calm, stay composed. And when I think about that, I think, of course, you know, the personal side, professional side, all things, because I think about last week, I had a very stressful week with work and demanding clients, right? And there are times that I snapped, or the week before that, I had a stressful moment with my sibling and I snapped, you know? And so it's like, okay, how do we reset ourselves to remain calm and composed in that, so we don't act out of emotion and we act out of fixing things, right?
Yeah, I think it's a great point. And, you know, again, it's something that I have to work on drastically as well, because, you know, I've talked about this. We've talked about them as well, is, or to them as well, is temper, right? And, you know, when...
Our middle names.
Yeah, that, and, you know, having a temper is not necessarily always a bad thing if you can control it, right? Mm-hmm. It's like anything else in your life. At the end of the day, because I also can make the argument for keeping things bottled up for years, mm-hmm, and never giving yourself that release. Mm-hmm. That's a problem too, in my opinion. And sometimes I think that leads to even more deeper problems, because people are so afraid of confrontation that, mm-hmm, they just hold back everything. So I think there's a good balance in there. But I do agree. Yeah, I do agree that, you know, when you've got... Stress leads to everything, and it usually leads to everything that is going wrong in your life as well when you let it consume you. And I think a lot of the stress that you and I probably add to ourselves is self-inflicted.
I think so too.
I think we take on way more than we think than we are capable of doing. I think we don't like to say no because we feel like we're an elite level as far as business, for when it comes to business and things like that. We see ourselves as elite. So if we tell people, hey, we can't do that, or no, or I don't have time, it makes us feel like we aren't getting it done, or we're potentially weaker than other people out there. I think that's how I personally feel.
Yeah.
But I do know that I've had a lot of bad things happen over the years because I let the stress that was going on in my life dictate how I snapped back at somebody. And I do think that over the years, I've matured is a big part of it. I've just spent more time in my industry. So you learn more, and you just learn how to deal with your stress. You learn how to bite your tongue when sometimes it's very hard to do.
Yeah.
That's the hardest thing for me, because sometimes I sit back and I completely will disagree with a certain situation, or I'll be pretty fired up about it. But I realize that if I snap or I throw my two cents in, it's just gonna escalate the situation that much further. And what good's gonna come out of that? Nothing. The answer is nothing.
Yeah.
So obviously you had a situation where that just happened.
Well, I was trying to think about, you know, with my son, because he gets my temper from me. Mm-hmm. Even Cole the other day was like, oh my God, you guys are two peas in a pod. And I'm like, blessings to the world. And I try to teach him at a young age, because once again, it goes back to what you learned late in life, teach your kids young in life, right?
Yep.
Earlier in life. And so, like, I teach Kian, when you can't control your emotions, control your breathing. And so ever since I've been trying to teach him that, in moments like that, I try to remind, what did you tell your four-year-old the other day, to control his emotions? But it's hard, because there are people that continue to push your buttons, and you only have so much space, mm-hmm. mental space for stress, right? Mm-hmm. Before you snap. It's natural.
Well,
it's
I like mean, I think you could snap. It's just a way of doing it healthier, right?
Right.
I think at the end of the day, if you've got an issue with something or someone, if they're mistreating you, if they're taking advantage of you, mm-hmm. if you feel like they're not seeing things from your perspective, if you feel like they're being judgmental, not knowing your situation, there's ways you can have those conversations with the people, especially if they're in your inner circle, true friends, close family members, mm-hmm. that's healthy and constructive, because I do believe in standing up for yourself. I do believe in having your own convictions and being willing to stand on that, to fall on the sword to mm-hmm. for your beliefs. I believe in all of that.
Yeah.
I just think that you don't really get that far when it comes from a place of anger. And again, you know, to my joke from earlier, hands up accountability from Ryan, because I've driven some wedges in some relationships over the years. I've certainly, it was something that my wife's had to deal with over the years that I've always regretted. And you and I will always say that to each other. We always feel good for about 15 seconds, getting it off your chest. And then after you have a chance to decompress and breathe a little bit, you recognize, wow, that was out of hand.
Yeah.
Wow, I shouldn't have reacted that way. I hate that about myself. Those are traits I hate about myself, and I just don't know how to fix it.
Well, that happened to me. So I had a disagreement with a sibling, and I don't want to say in my defense, but she knew what she was doing, pushing my buttons, right? And yeah. Then I exploded, and I said mean things. I said some pretty mean things, because I was, I think my ego kicked in, right? That I was frustrated in that moment. She won because I was winning for so long. So that's an ego side I need to kill. But then after I sat back, I didn't talk to her for like almost 2 days. And it wasn't because I was still mad at her in that situation. If I'm being honest, I was mad at myself.
Yep.
I was disappointed with myself that I let myself get to that level, let somebody control my emotions in that aspect, and then how I handled it. And like I said some mean things. And that shows that I'm human, right? Like, I feel bad for what I said, but I wanted to hurt her mm-hmm. because she was frustrating me.
No, and we do that, right? I mean, you, and especially when you're close to somebody, you know what words are going to yeah. get to people. You know what you're going to say that is going to, and you do it by, you're doing it with intent.
Yeah.
You're doing it by, on purpose, and it makes you feel good to sometimes get that off your chest. But like you said, you recognize, you know, a couple days later, you know, what did I really gain out of that? I didn't gain anything. It changed.
An instant moment of victory, and
but it's okay to stand up for yourself too. And I want the listeners to know that I want people to stand up for themselves. I tell my kids all the time, look, man, if you keep getting pushed into a corner, and obviously she was pushing your buttons and she was doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
She knows you guys don't see eye to eye on certain things. And, you know, at the end of the day, she's not going to change your mind and you're not going to change hers.
Right.
And I think I've learned that over the last few years, especially in the political environment that we're in as well. And I think in the United States as a general, we're divided. It's mm-hmm. clearly obvious, and you're seeing some things kind of shift to one side. But I think, you know, we need to recognize that we have a lot more in common than we think that we do.
Yeah.
But when there's division, especially in a political type environment, nothing good from that is yeah. going to come with arguing and yelling, because you're not going to change that person's mind.
Yeah.
And I see these posts all the time from both sides of the fence, whether it be political, whether it be your outlook on whatever, the transgender, gay, whatever that may be, mm-hmm. and whatever your perspective is, you're not changing the other person's perspective.
Well, like when vegans try to make vegans or vegetarians try to make meat eaters feel bad for eating meat. Like,
yes.
You telling people that way, or same thing with meat eaters and vegetarians, but you trying to make them feel bad for something that they do is not going to change their minds.
Correct. And I think what you need, the best way to go through life is to have, and I've talked to this to Allison about this forever, is having zero expectations of other people.
Yeah.
And when you do that, your weight's lifted, and let people do their own life. At the end of the day, as long as you are not affecting my life, my family, what we believe in, you go do you. I'm going to spend zero energy worrying about what you believe, what you think is best for your family, what your political beliefs are, what your dietary beliefs are, whatever the case may be. As long as you're not trying to force things down my throat, more power to you. Yeah. Go have a good life. But I do agree that the temper part of it is something that you and I both have to work on.
Yeah,
because what you don't want to see happen, and I've seen this with my dad, and with my dad that just passed away, it's actually a good topic. The more that I'm thinking about this.
Well, me too, because I'm starting to open up.
As we're talking about this, my dad passed away a few weeks ago, and he had a very, very bad temper growing up. He believed in physical discipline for us kids, which to a degree I still believe in some of that as well, as long as it's not, it's not the way he did it. He made my mom into someone that she wasn't, because she was around negativity and around a bad temper for so many years that it eventually started to kind of tarnish her a little bit. And, now that my dad's passed away, I realize there's only a handful of people that have reached out. And I think that is a telling story right there, that he let his own anger, he let his temper, he let his opinions drive wedges into multiple relationships. And I think at the end of it, he started to sense that regret. And I don't want to regret things in my life.
Or more negative.
Yeah.
He realized that he didn't have people around him.
Yeah. And I'm thinking to myself, man, at 74 years old, you spent 74 years of life on this earth. When people are around you, they loved being around you. They loved your personality. They loved the fun Richard that he was. But if you did in his eyes something wrong, or if you wronged him in some way, or you made him feel a certain way, he was the quickest one to write you off. He was the quickest one to let someone just say, I'm done with you. There was times in our relationship where we'd go 6 months to a year without talking to him with each other, because he had it in his head. He was right and everybody else was wrong. And he had that opinion and he never changed. He was never willing to adapt. He was never willing to admit he was wrong. He was never willing to apologize when he blew up on people. And eventually people just said, you know what? I don't need to be around that.
Right.
And that's what you and I run into if we don't fix these things.
Right.
And if we don't change that philosophy, if we don't break that chain, Elena, we're going to regret. We're going to look down the road and we're going to say, wow, all of my temperament, how I blew up on people, how I exploded, how I snapped, me never taking accountability, me never apologizing, has led to where we are today. And I think that's going to lead to a life of regret. Well, and we can't let that happen.
It's due to a sensitive ego, right?
Yeah.
And pride, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I say. The more that we talk about this topic, I'm like, okay, so let's talk about the effects that it has in a relationship where people, because most people can relate to that.
Yes.
Right. And I look at it as, I've had definitely some times that I've snapped at Cole and said mean things to him that he didn't deserve.
Sure.
But I'm frustrated with work, and he gets to see the mean side of Elena that most people don't see.
Well, right? Because you have to have
but
that.
But I'm also most comfortable with him.
Right. Well, and you're and that's vulnerable. But that's going to be anybody, right? Cole's going to be the same way. You're going to see a side of Cole that other people don't see, right? And say, and vice versa with any spouse or relationship, your closest partner gets to get the good, but they also see the bad. And you can't feel bad about that because you also have to have a way to release.
Yeah. But it gets to a point though, he finally got me to a point out of my own stubborn brain. He's like, I'm putting you over here where you can look in on when you're being stubborn and you're being mean and you're losing your temper. And so you can see really how that makes me feel. And I have a lot of respect for him for doing that, because he could have just kept taking it and built up resentment towards me. Mm-hmm. Right. But also he was committed in making me into a better person, because I told him there's traits and you know, I love my mom, I love my dad, and you love your mom, you love your dad, and you try to take the good from them, but you also notice they, everybody has bad.
You inherit bad with it.
And there's things that I want to correct about myself, you know, and the more he opens my eyes up to me, and we're like, you know, the things that I hate about myself the most are the things that I'm actually projecting onto him that when I'm angry. Does that make sense?
It absolutely makes
sense. And it's like, and so you sit back, you're like, that's not fair. And so it was like the last couple of months, I literally was like, you're right. I'm sorry.
Well, I saw a clip recently, and I agree with it 1,000%, is that when you lash out at people, or your initial reaction is anger, it really stems from depression.
Yeah.
I thought about that for a while, because I'm like, I'm not a depressed person.
Yeah.
And then I started really thinking about it. I'm like, you know what? I probably am, because I feel like, okay, I'm not getting it done as work as much as I need to. I'm definitely not happy with where I am physically. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure I'm still attractive to my wife. Mm-hmm. You know, those type of things. You know, I'm not eating the right way. I'm abusing my body when it comes to, I'm drinking too much. Mm-hmm. So I think those things subconsciously are depression. I just don't see it.
Yeah.
So when you lash out at somebody, it's because of your own internal problems that you're dealing, like you just said, you're projecting what's going on in your world onto them, and that's affecting.
I mean, let's look at his health, right? Could he eat healthier? Yes, but his knee has been a huge issue.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know, when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself, talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Issue, and when he did smoke, which he hasn't smoked since December. Right?
Shout out, Cole. So, good job, buddy.
And so, but I used to get mad at him about not being healthy and not eating healthy when, just because I wasn't dealing with my knee doesn't mean I was healthy. I mean, shit, technically he's healthier than me if you think about it, right? I mean, weight wise.
Yeah, and I don't know. What do they say? There's skinny fat people
skinny
out there
fat.
Too. Or skinny but unhealthy.
He's getting his little belly and I love it actually. I pinched it the other day. I was like, look, what is this, honey? It took you 41 years. But you've seen his dad. His sweetsters don't have fat on them. But I'm like, I would just harp and harp and harp on him about his health. When in return, what have I been doing the last 8 months for my health? Mm-hmm. So I really was in no place to say, you need to take your health seriously when, I mean, I was eating the fast food with him. Right. I wasn't working out with him, right?
Yeah.
And so now he and I are trying to talk about how to implement that, which it'll be a little bit different.
Yeah, well, this is what you get, guys, when you film in a backyard.
Yeah.
You get construction workers mowing grass
out
there.
Did you not let your HOA know? We'd be recording
it. I know. I need to let them know. My
God.
Bad.
But no, but what I'm saying is, like, so you're right. So it takes a lot of us to put our ego aside and our pride aside and think, okay, why am I really lashing out on this person? And so I've been actually thinking about my lash out on my sister, because some of the mean things I said, I was like, I mean, I kind of fall in line of what I was saying to her, you know? I guess staying calm, kind of what we're trying to talk about, in a stressful situation, I guess you just gotta, one, focus on breathing, like I tell Kim, but two, you gotta really, like, what is my end goal here? Is it to hurt them, or is it to protect myself and my boundaries, or is it to change an environment? What is the end goal here?
It's probably a combination of all three. It's probably
kind of. Most times we choose to hurt people.
Well, because we know that usually, because you jump to be on the defense immediately, right? So when someone's trying to hurt you, your initial reaction is to defend yourself. And you can still do that, but do it constructively. And I think that's where the challenge is. But again, I want to reiterate that there is a point mm-hmm. where sometimes you've got to put your foot down and be like, okay, I've taken it on the chin long enough. Mm-hmm. I've listened to you rant long enough. I've let you insult me and my beliefs and how I view this life enough to where now I've got to put you in your place.
Yeah.
Now I have to say my piece. And there's.
But do you have to say your piece? Is walking away not an answer?
Walking away, I think, probably makes the most sense in most situations. I think that there is a time and place where it calls for standing up, because standing up for yourself lets that person know that's where the line's been crossed, right? Yeah. And if you continue to walk away, walk away, walk away, yes, you're the bigger person, and I do agree with that in most senses, mm-hmm. but if this is something that's been ongoing for a long time, there's also, in my opinion, a problem with letting people run all over you. I think there's a problem with letting people project what their beliefs are all over you without you standing up for yourself. Right. So I think that there's a line there, but I think that, again, there's a way to do it that doesn't come across from hurting the other person. But there needs to be a point where you just say enough is enough. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to agree with you. Mm-hmm. I'm never going to agree with the way you look at this. You look at the way you want to look at it in your life. Yeah. You do you. But we are done talking about this, because if this is what the conversation is going to be when we're around each other, I'm going to choose to not be around you. Yeah. And I would hate that because you're my sister, or a sibling or brother or wife, whatever it may be. You know, I choose to have a relationship with you, but if this is the kind of relationship we're gonna have, it's similar to your friend group. We talk about all these things. You've gotta be willing to walk away. And if that person is going to do nothing but bring negativity to your life, which is, again, using my dad as an example, and God rest his soul, he did that. And people chose to not be around him because he was that way. And do you wanna look up and say, you know what? This is Elena Sweetser that has so much potential in this world. She's a phenomenal mother, a great wife, a great realtor, a great friend. She's giving, she's caring, she's loving. Oh, but by the way, this temper that she had completely overshadowed all that good. That's my biggest fear. My biggest fear personally is that when I lash out, that it doesn't matter all these good traits I have, that one trait is so bad that it outweighs all of the good.
Well, and it's like, actually last week with Kian, you know, he got back to school after we were gone for a week visiting my mother. And so naturally they're a little crazy their first day back after being a week gone when they get to school. And so the teacher was like, he was a little crazy today, but we get it. He just needs to be better tomorrow. So I told Kian, I said, we got to be a good boy tomorrow, because he also lost his cartoons because he was being disrespectful to mommy in New Mexico. So daddy was like, you lose your cartoons when you get back for 3 days, and then we'll readjust if we need. So anyways, so Kian the next day, I picked him up from school, and she's like, he was such a good boy. He was respectful. He had his inside voice, and he was a really good boy. They were like, good job, buddy. You learned your lesson. Because we're like, you can't get your cartoons back till your teacher gives us a stamp of approval that you're being good. Well, then we went to jujitsu right after that, and he was bad. And he was constantly getting in trouble and happy because he was playing with another kid, putting his hands on another kid, not in a bad way, but they kept, like, touching each other. When jujitsu, you got to be in your own little box and be disciplined. And so he wasn't being mean and hateful bad, but he still wasn't listening and being respectful, which we try to tell him when your coaches are there, you need to respect their time because they're going to make you better. And so I told him, we got in the car, I said, so I don't get my cartoons. I said, listen, buddy, you did all that hard work today, being a good boy at school. And within just an hour,
you lost it all. And now that's all that you focus on. Yep.
And I said, you got to commit. Like, you committed to be a good boy today. And just because you went to jujitsu doesn't mean, okay, I was a good day at school, so check mark, now I can be a bad boy the rest of the day. That's not how it works.
Right.
And so, of course, you know, he didn't get cartoons last night or that night. And we said, we can try again tomorrow. You know?
Well, yeah, but the important thing is you guys are sticking to the punishment as well, right? Because again, they will never learn if you always give in.
And I
think most people, are like, okay, we'll take it down from 3 days to 1 day, blah, blah. And that's what most people do. They justify it in their head of why they can get to give it back. And then they wonder why their kids have that bad behavior. Yeah. So,
well, let's be honest, though. Some tired parents were like, please don't lose your cartoon privileges, kids.
Oh, I know. Like, that's an inconvenience for me. That means I'm going to have to play games and you're going to be bugging me and all those type of things. So
please take your naps today.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you said something earlier about your dad, how, you know, the way he was and how it affected his relationship and some friends. And I was thinking about it because, you know, there's only so much your spouse can take of you being a certain way, right?
Before they throw up their hands.
Yeah. And so, and I'm grateful to Cole that he didn't just shut off and he kept fighting for me to see what he was seeing and what he was receiving. And it got to a point where, you know, I told him, I was like, you know, I just think about, do you ever watch those movies or those shows? And you see these two people are clearly meant to be together and they love each other, but they're so stuck in their own ways and they keep self-sabotaging their relationship and they never get to be happy together. Mm-hmm. They always, one dates the other when this one's finally available or so, and then at the end of like 10 series or whatever, they end up together. I'm like, but you wasted technically 10 years just being in your own little way.
You did, but it also, but maybe you had to go through that to learn,
well,
right? I mean, that's part, a big part of it too, is, you know, you always got to find the opportunities like we talk about, but again, you know, everyone learns at their own pace.
Yeah.
And Alana, you're still young. You're still really young. You know, yeah. I look at the fact and go, okay, have I improved over the last 10, 15, 20 years with my wife? Yeah. Is it where I need to be? No.
Yeah.
So when you think about, okay, I've just been with my wife, I've been with my wife for 20 years now, and on a weekly basis minimum, there's something I say, there's something I do, there's a reaction that I give that I regret. Mm. There's a reaction to my kids that I regret. And I harp on them sometimes where I'm trying to, you know, create this perfect marriage, this perfect wife, these perfect kids, and I think to myself, go back in your own shoes, Ryan. What did you do when you were a teenager?
Mm-hmm.
How did you react when your parents were this way with you? Mm-hmm. And it's so hard to put yourself back in those shoes because your reaction is strive for perfection, strive for perfection, strive for perfection. And I strive for that in my own life, just with everything I do. And I got to realize you're never going to achieve perfect.
Right.
You might achieve great, but you're never going to achieve perfect.
Right.
And I think that, you know, and that's ourself as well. We're never going to be perfect. We weren't designed to be.
Mm-hmm.
We were designed to fail and we were designed to make mistakes, but we've got to learn from some of these things quicker. And, you know, that's one of the things that I look at myself and I know that I'm not doing the best of job because, you know, I've had a bad temper for the entire time I've been with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And again, even though I've improved it and then in my head I say, well, I've improved.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the same guy I was 20 years ago. But I'm nowhere near where I need to be today.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you feel the same way. So, you know, my advice to you would be just, you know, just keep self-reflecting the way that you do.
And it's constantly having to chip away at my own ego and to be vulnerable enough to go to my spouse and be like, I hate mm-hmm. showing weakness. I hate it.
But
even to my own husband.
But
right?
Don't you think that makes you stronger?
But that's what I'm saying. So now that I'm going to Cole, I'm like, so for, I think an example, over the weekend, I told him, I was like, we were texting, and I feel like I was trying to get emotional attention. And I thought about it, and I told him, I was like, this is not my intention. I just want security in this moment. I don't care for attention. I want security in this moment. And so it's gone to a point now where I'm having to get to the point to him closer. Like, I'm like, I need to communicate with you. Or last week when I had a stressful work week, normally he calls me and I'm stressed, what? And I'm stressed out. So he called me and won a stress moment like that. And I said, hey, I just want you to know, I just got off a very heated phone call. I'm not mad at you, but I'm still trying to calm down. So I'll call you back.
You know, there's the difference right there of being able to react.
I release my anger in that moment on him.
Yes.
And so I was like, I'm not mad at you at all. I just need to talk about it. I need to vent about it. And then I need to get over it.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like,
and it's so much healthier. Well, it's so much healthier. So you talk about ego, right? I can make the argument that just makes you stronger.
Yeah.
It makes you that much stronger of a person. It makes you that much more self-confident. It makes you that much better of a mother, a wife, and a boss, which, you know, you're going to continue to be. Your brand's going to continue to grow. You also are going to have employees that work for you. You want more employees to work for you long-term. Okay, well, what kind of leader do you want to be? What kind of boss do you want to be?
Mm-hmm.
These are the things that should drive your ego. And then when you say, you know what? When people look at you and they say, man, I couldn't work for a better boss. I love working for Alana because even when she's mad or I make a mistake, she lets me learn from my mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
She praises me when I do well.
Mm-hmm.
When I make a mistake, she doesn't go off on me. She doesn't go off the handle. She doesn't go off the reservation. Mm-hmm. She pulls me aside. She says, okay, this is where you made a mistake. This is what you did wrong. This is what you need to do to fix it moving forward. Let's just not let this mistake happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Be that person.
Right?
Be that person that you just said. And again, this is Ryan saying, I got to take my own advice.
Yeah.
Because I know what I'm doing is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I snap and I do it the same way. And it's always when I'm in the highest stress point.
Mm-hmm.
When like Allison knows I'm slammed at work and she decides to call me in the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you just said, like, Allison, I've got stuff to do. What are you calling me for?
Yeah.
Like, I'm in my zone.
I've said that to Cole before. Can this not be a text? And he, honestly, the last time I did
maybe
that,
maybe I just want to hear your voice.
He was just calling to see how I was doing.
Yes.
And I go, could this not be a text?
And so you and start the reaction like, that way. And that's, and then he's like, yeah. And then he's like, actually, I just want to hear your voice because I missed you today. And, you know, sometimes that's where Allison is. Maybe Allison's like, you know what? I haven't heard from Ryan all day.
Yeah.
Let me just call him so I can hear his voice.
Love us.
Right.
Yeah.
And but you hurt the ones you love the most. Yeah, that's just human nature. So
because,
anyway.
Because you know that they still will accept you. And I even said the words to them. I said, I have taken advantage of your loyalty to me when I do that. And I'm sorry. That's not fair. Because I know you won't leave me.
Yeah.
And I know, but I know you always forgive me and love me. But that doesn't, just because I know you're going to do those things doesn't mean I can abuse it.
And I think I've done that. You know, I've abused it over the years. And there's been times where, you know, apologies can only go so far.
Yeah.
And
they remember things.
And, well, your apology ends up losing value over time, too, right? The more you apologize for the same thing, it goes back to what we're saying in this podcast is, are we actually learning from our mistakes?
Yeah.
Or are we just taking, or are we just taking our spouses for granted because we know they love us?
Yeah.
Right? That's a question you should be asking yourself.
I saw a quote and I screenshot it because I wanted to share it with you, but I didn't have time to memorize it. I've got a few things going on in my brain. All right. It says, my girl mentioned a good point to me. She said, people should live by three simple rules. Love needs action, trust needs proof, and sorry needs change.
That's a good quote.
I know.
It's a good
and
quote.
I saw it. I was like, screenshot, podcast, implement in life. Good, Elena.
We'll see. She's still going to snap at someone this week, guaranteed. Probably me.
Who wants to line up? Because Cole's tapped out. Who wants to be next?
Yeah. If you want to really get her fired up, call her around like 1 to 3 o'clock when she's posted like all these real estate offers she's going. That's the best time to contact her.
Please do.
Anyway, guys, think about your own relationships. Think about your relationships with your spouses, your friendships, your family members that you disagree with. How often do you lash out? How often do you keep things bottled up? How do you react in stressful situations?
And take a step aside, and when you lash out, think, what am I lashing out to them? Is it about me or is it actually about that person? And learn.
And what are you actually gaining?
Yeah.
That's the big thing too, right? At the end of it, what are you actually gaining? So I think it was a good topic, Elena. Sorry for the background, lawnmower music with these new mics. Hopefully we'll drown out some of those the sound.
Shout out to Amber for getting us.
It will, but again, we talk about real. This is as real as it gets, guys. We're completely off the cuff and we do that by design. So
until Gary V decides to sponsor us. Gary V, shout out.
One of these days, we're going to put it out there. Thank you again, guys, for the continued support.
Yep.
Like us, share us. If you think that this resonates with you, please pass it on to other people to listen to. Mm-hmm. We do it for you. We want to bring real back to this world of fake. It's something that we're very passionate about. So.
And we can't do that without you.
We can't. We need your help. Please continue to like and share us. And
see you next
week. I'll continue to take the brunt of her anger for you. So, all right,
bye.
Guys, take care.